This morning we're going to consider just the last half of verse 21 of Job chapter 1. The last half of his confession, the Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. This confession, or this part of the confession of Job, beloved people of God, may not at all seem fitting for us to take and consider for ourselves, especially on a Thanksgiving day, because number one, the occasion when Job said these words was the complete loss of everything that he had except for his own life. And in the second place, may be because Job himself seems so unique to us that what he has to say has really little to do with us, that he falls, as is the case in our eyes, to be much like the Apostle Paul or Peter, the super saints far beyond our own expression and experience, and nothing could be further the truth. Of course, there is a certain uniqueness about Job and the events recorded in the book of Job. There is the incredible wealth that Job received, more than even the ungodly men of the East. There have been few believers in God, as Job was, who have received wealth to the extent that Job did. And so he seems to be rather unique to us. But it's especially with regard to what he lost, and indeed that is unique. The Bible, by including this book about a person otherwise unknown to us, at a time otherwise unknown to us, and God preserving this history, and in fact even revealing that which Job did not and could not know, namely what went on in heaven, God saw fit to not only sovereignly control and govern all these events, but to make sure that we know them, makes clear that what happens to Job is very unique. There will be no one really who suffers like unto Job suffers, our Lord Jesus himself accepted. But that doesn't make what he says and responds unique. In fact, the whole point of the book is that we might read about Job and be comforted similarly in our own circumstances, which are less than Job's. And it's especially with regard to the confession that he makes at the outset, before Satan touches his own health, that's important for us and significant for us. That is not unique. And what we also ought to see is that what Job was doing was not simply worshiping God, but he was offering to God, because it was worship, a form of thanksgiving. All worship is really thanksgiving to God. No, Job was not thanking God for taking away all these things for himself. Don't misunderstand. But when he expresses those things that he does about God and then says, God is blessed, that was praise to God and worship of God that God received in thanksgiving, that God considered acceptable, that shut the mouth of Satan. And that's what we need to see this morning. That is not unique to the believer. That should be and must be the kind of expression of every child of God, every God-fearing child of God. because that's what ultimately separates us from the ungodly, even on this day. That no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what has occurred to us, we can always say, the Lord gave, the Lord took away, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the unique thanksgiving of a believer. Consider that with me this morning. All thanksgiving, beloved people of God, begins and ends with God. Anything that you say that comes out of your mouth this morning or today, anything that you have to say even in prayer or in your own thoughts and hearts, anything that doesn't begin with God and anything doesn't end with God is not thanksgiving. It's not worship. It's not worth anything. That's what we have to recognize. The world today is filled with the word thanks. They may even utter the name of God. There are all kinds of people today who are imagining that they're giving thanks and will say so. And there will be plenty who also attribute this in some way to God. But none of it is God-fearing. None of it is worship. None of it is thankworthy. None of it is blessed. Why? Because it doesn't begin and end with God. It doesn't fundamentally give thanks to God or for God. And that's what we see here with Job. That is that which God exemplifies himself in these words and sets forth before even Satan's eyes and says, see, this is what it is to be a believer. And that's what this is all about. God demonstrating and proving that Job truly is a child of God. Yes, it states that he served God and he eschewed evil. He was a perfect and an upright man, but now how does one see that? And we're told about these things that Job did before these events and how he dealt with his family covenantal. Very wonderful, worthy of consideration in and of itself. But the whole story of Job and why it's set forth here comes down to that verse. That in all this Job sinned not nor did foolishly. We're even going to see in the next chapter when Satan touches his health that Job will curse his day. Basically expressing that he wished he had not been born. That he had simply never been, which is about as despairing as you can get. But the point is, in all that, Job charged not God and continued to worship and glorify God. And that's fundamentally expressed in the confession that we consider right there at the end of the verse. He begins with God, and notice he begins as the Lord who gives. He gives. It is a confession that everything comes from God. That's basically what it is. Later on, Job's going to express that to his wife, that he received everything from God. Shall we not receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? So understand that, that apart from what follows, the expression that God gives, what Job means by that is that everything I have received, everything, is from God. God gave to Job his life. Naked came I into the world, he's going to confess. Naked he leaves it, he's going to confess. He's going to go on in the book to describe how he understands that even his formation in the womb comes from God, his life, his beating heart, his breath. He understands that God controls his health as well as the boils that he will receive. His substance he received from God, the greatest man of the East, in verses 2 and 3. The clothing on his body and the food in his tent, but also all the cattle, all the riches that he had received, his wife, his family, his 7 sons, and his 3 daughters. Notice, too, that we read that he gave thanks to God that his children believed God. The worship that he gave was not simply atonements for sin that they may have committed, but in so doing, Job was worshiping God, recognizing that God not only gave him children, but gave him believing children. Job understands God gave him his wife, God gave him his friends, God gave him his good name. The name that prior to these events, everyone knew. Everyone knew who Job was. Everyone was the friend of Job. Everyone loved to talk to Job. They listened to Job. Job stood in the gate. He was the man that they went to for wisdom and for judgment. Job is saying, "The Lord gave me all those things. And more importantly, the Lord gave me himself." None of the things that Job received were worth anything unless God give him himself. Job recognizes that. He's going to confess that many, many times in this book. What he knows about God. And Job understands that he cannot know these things. He cannot know God is God. There is no God to sacrifice to. There is no God to believe in unless God himself visits him. That God gives himself to Job, makes the heart of Job his dwelling place, gives unto Job his own spirit so that he may know the forgiveness of sins through that Redeemer that he knows lives. That God gives him his own strength and power so that he can make such confession and worship God as he is called to do. All those things the Lord gave. Thanksgiving today begins with that regard to ourselves too. The Bible asks, even in the New Testament, the heart of the matter, what do you have that you have not received? What do you have that you have not received from God? Whatever you can see and touch, whatever you know and experience, the very life that you live right now in this gymnasium, everything that you will see today and experience today, everything God gave. God gave to you your life and your name. God gave to you your gifts and your abilities. God gave to you your capabilities, your function, your form. God gave to you your husband or your wife. God gave to you your family. God gave to you your food and drink and your clothing. God gave to you your home and your car, your money, your job, everything. And then let's take note that, oh yes, not to the extent that Job possessed, but God has given to us in abundance. Not just clothes, but closets stuffed full of clothes. Not just bread and water for today, but a table that is filled with delicacies. God has, in many cases, not withheld children, not just one, but many. God has given us not just a tent to live in, but palatial homes, the poorest of us is not poor. God gives beneficently to us. And more than all that, you and I are here because God has given himself to us. God gives to all man his substance and to all men their life. The ungodly world that is claiming thanksgiving and is going to flood the stores tomorrow, all those things are given by God. Everything. So, what makes us different than them? The answer is, you know God. And how do you know God? And the answer is, because God gave himself to you. That's the most amazing thing. Don't underestimate that, because that is what alone counts for this unbelievable confession of Job. That's what this is all about. Satan imagines to himself that Job worships God for one reason. Because the Lord gave. That the Lord gave Job all his substance. That's Satan's understanding. He worships you, says Satan, because you've made a hedge about him. You've given him so much and you've protected him. That's why he worships God. But take it all away, and he won't worship anymore. God said, not so. Why? Did God go on to take it all away because God didn't really know and was going to find out? No. God knew fundamentally that whether he took it all away or whether he gave Job even more, it fundamentally wouldn't change Job, because he had given himself, first of all, to Job. God dwelt in his heart. And when God dwells in your heart, then all things begin with God and all things are directed to God. He knew that about Job, and Job knew it too. But now, even more amazing is that Job goes on to confess that God is the God who takes away. And now understand, Job recognizes this, even though he recognizes that it's an evil. What's amazing is Job even recognizes that God taking away is something he received from God. That's really the amazing thing here. That's why he goes on to say to his wife, shall we receive good at the hand of God? The good is his life, and his cattle, and his name, and all those things. And shall we not receive evil? Job recognized that when God took away from him 1,000 oxes, 500 asses, all those sheep, 7,000 or so, the camels, the houses, and the servants, when God took away his 7 sons, and his daughters, and that even when God, not soon thereafter, is going to take away all his health, that was evil. Recognize that, please. Job did not look at that, and God does not expect the child of God to see that as good, not as such. We know all things work together for good. That doesn't mean they start out that way. The child of God, as Job did, may recognize them as evil as opposed to good. But notice, Job recognizes that he received that from God, so that even in taking away, he was receiving something from God, something he experienced as evil. And Job confesses that. God took it all away. And indeed, God's going to take everything away from Job. He essentially takes away his wife. His wife's response to this is, curse God and God, die. And we're not going to hear anything more about her until the very end. He's going to lose all his friends. They all think he stinks. They don't want to associate with him. Job was useful to them only while he was rich. Now that he's lost all that, he's of no use to them. No one's going to consult them. He only is left with three friends, and they're not much use. In fact, they only hurt Job. They show up with all kinds of advice that's no advice at all. And their advice is simply, it's all for your fault, Job. It's your fault. It's your fault. You're a sinner. That's why God has done this. Even his health, he loses that too. All that Job has is a little life, and he wished that was gone. The Lord took away. And notice that, will you please? We know how it was all taken away. Sabaeans show up. A strong wind comes down. Lightning comes out of heaven. All these different things, all these different agencies, and behind it all stands the evil one, worth contemplating all by itself. Don't ever underestimate the power of Satan. Don't ever do that. Satan still can make lightning come down from the heavens to kill and start wars and take away goods. And Satan can and does do these things. But Job doesn't say, the Lord gave, but the Sabaeans took away. The Lord gave me my family, but a strong tornado took them away. No, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. That canon is the case with us too, beloved. And this is what separates us from many Christians. Oh yes, the ungodly don't even acknowledge that the Lord gave. But then there's Christians who will acknowledge that. The Lord gave. But now when it comes to taking away, the Lord doesn't have anything to do with that. If the Lord takes away my husband, or the Lord takes away my child, if the Lord takes away my job, if the Lord takes away my house, the Lord didn't have anything to do with that. That was just simply Satan. It's evil. God didn't take it away. That's not the confession of a believer. And it doesn't do any good to ignore that either. Sometimes that's the advice that so-called friends have. A mother is grieving over the loss of a child, and somebody comes along and says, God didn't do that. Or we ignore the point. Don't do that. That's not healthy. That's not spiritually healthy, not in the long run. That day, and I mention this because often people will say you need time. Sometimes years and years and years. No, not really. That's how long it may take, but that's your fault. The same day, the reaction of Job is he loses everything and he immediately falls on his face and says, the Lord took it all away. And that happens to us too, beloved. I don't know what's happened to you in the past year, but I know that in one way or another, and to different degrees, both as individuals or a church, the Lord takes away. He does. The same Lord that gives does take away in one way or another. He takes away our health. He takes away our strength. He takes away family members and friends. He takes away possessions. He is always taking away. And even though Job says the Lord hath taken away, let's understand that fundamentally the confession of every child of God is even more profound, which is the Lord will take away. I Maybe we say to ourselves when we hear about the history of Job this morning, well, you know, the Lord gave, and sometimes the Lord takes away, and he takes away small amounts. And I'm thankful to God as long as he keeps it to the extent, but if he ever does what he did to Job, I'm finished, I'm done. Maybe that's the way you feel, but you better evaluate that in the light of what is the truth. The same Lord that gave you everything that you have will take away all those things in one day. You see, we're not that much different from Job. Now, Job has it all taken away, and he continues to live, and he's going to wish he were dead. But the fact of the matter is, beloved, you can cling to your stuff and your possessions, and you can say the Lord gave and give thanks for that. But unless you're also recognized in the same breath, and the Lord will, maybe in the next hour, take it all away, you're not worshiping God or truly thankful. Job recognizes that. Naked came I into the world, and naked I leave. Yeah, they're going to cover your body in the casket with your Sunday suit and your best Sunday dress. But at that point, you don't own it anymore. You won't have the strength to put it on. Someone else is going to have to put it on you. And in that casket and in that grave, you have nothing. God will take away your wife, your husband, all your children. He will take away your business. He will take away all your money in your bank accounts. He will take away your cars and your clothes and your house. God will take away all the thoughts in your mind about this earth and this world. He will take away your health. The Lord who gives is the Lord who takes it all away. Except for one thing. He will never take away himself. And that's why Job can say what he does too. And why you can today too, no matter what your circumstances are. Child of God understands the Lord will indeed take everything away, and yet still, blessed be the name of the Lord. Notice fundamentally that that last phrase, blessed be the name of the Lord, is his thanksgiving. That's essentially what to be blessed means. It means that God be thanked. God be praised. Why? Because God is good. Because God is good. That's what it means when you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. You're saying God is good, God is to be praised, God is worthy of our praise. Because he is good. And now understand, God is these things, whether he gives or takes away. In fact, God is blessed because he gives and he takes away. That's the amazing thing here. That God is blessed when he gives, well, that's kind of the easy part, isn't it? Although, don't discount that. There's all kinds of people that are willing to acknowledge that God is blessed as long as he gives. Or even that God is blessed because he gives. Their hands are going to be folded and they're going to pronounce those blessings upon God. Seemingly very piously and religiously and righteously. But they're not really blessing God at all. Now why is that? And the answer is because they don't fundamentally understand that God is blessed regardless of what he has given or what he has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord stands all by itself. You have to recognize that, beloved, this morning. Because unless you do, you will not appreciate the fact that God even gives. Do you understand that God is blessed all by himself? God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need this world. He doesn't need to give. He doesn't need to do anything. God didn't have to make all things. God didn't have to deal with Satan. God didn't have to do any of these things. We didn't have to exist, in other words. The fact that there's even you or me to whom God can give things does not make God blessed. God is blessed all by himself. He has himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He has everything. There's no power, there's no life, there's no riches, there's nothing outside of God. And a child of God has to fundamentally understand it, because only then does he understand why it's so important to give thanks for God, even that he gives one single little thing to us. I'm only here. And you're only here because God simply decided to do that, and he didn't have to do that. God doesn't owe you one thing. God doesn't owe you a job. God doesn't owe you a life. God doesn't owe you an existence. He don't owe you anything. And that's fundamental to Thanksgiving, isn't it? And it's only when we start there that we can proceed then to say that God is blessed also when he takes away. That is the amazing thing. It's one thing to say the Lord gave. It's another thing to add, and the Lord taketh away. It's still yet another to say God is blessed when he takes away, isn't it? And maybe you gather this morning and the Lord hasn't taken away much. But don't forget to think about those things. I know we all sit down and we say, what did the Lord give us? What are you thankful for? That's a good practice. Sometimes we're amazed when we ask the children that. What are you thankful for? And they come up with something quite small and insignificant, at least to us. And you think about it and you say, wow, that's quite insightful that the little child here saw that they were thankful simply for mom getting up in the morning and serving breakfast. These are things that we're thinking about, right? Isn't that usually our problem when we're unthankful? When we're grumbling and complaining, how often isn't the solution simply to sit back and just look at the small things? You're brumming over your cup of coffee, simply look at the cup of coffee and say, how did I get that? I'm actually able to drink and to eat. And I'm thinking with my mind, I'm not thinking good and healthy thoughts, but where did it all come from? Well, the Lord who gave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then you can start to proceed to think about the things that God took away. It is not good, beloved. It is not excusable. There's nothing righteous about it. There's nothing godly about it. When we grumble and complain at all, ever. There's never an excuse. There's never a reason. There's no justification for ever grumbling or complaining or becoming bitter. And even worse, when it is directed at God. Because the fact of the matter is, what Job said is true. The Lord is blessed when he takes away. Don't say to yourself, well, now, you know, that's just a super Christian. That's super faith. No, it's not. That's why the Lord brought out this confession from a man who lost everything. And why is that so important? Because if you can't make that confession when you lose just a few things, then you're never going to make it on your deathbed. You're never going to make it in the face of death. Recognize that. if you're a child of God, God may actually do that. He is capable of that. To take one of his children who's grumbling because they lost this little thing or that little, it may be big to them. God is capable of taking everything. In an instant, putting you in a coffin. And then what's your heart going to say? What are you going to say to God when you're looking up at the ceiling of that coffin, 6 foot under? You're not fair. You're unrighteous. How dare you take my life? Well, if you're doing that simply because God smashed your car up, even if you lost a great friend or family member, if that's what you do when that happens, how in the world are you going to do it when God takes everything? Thanksgiving, beloved, is God is blessed when he takes it all away. God is blessed if he takes just one thing away from you. He's worthy of your praise. He's worthy of your thanksgiving. And why is that? Because God is blessed when he takes it all away. You understand that? When God takes it all away, it's because you deserve that. You don't deserve anything. You don't deserve to have another breath. And if God stops it and takes it away, God is blessed. God is good. Now, fortunately, because God has given himself to us, that's not the end of the story. The fact of the matter is, a child of God also gets to praise God because even though God takes away everything, God has given him everything. And things that can never be taken away. And what is that? God has given himself. Understand that. If we sit around our tables this morning and we give thanks and we look at all these material things and we don't recognize that fundamentally I am blessed because the blessed God, the sovereign of heaven and earth, has made his home in my heart, then stop. It's only then that God can take away everything and we still be blessed. And that, beloved, is the thanksgiving of a child of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for thy word, a humbling word, but a word of truth. We recognize and confess that thou art the God who gives and the God who takes away. And we make it our prayer that thou art blessed, both in giving and in taking away. Blessed be thy name. Amen. Number 202. Let's sing stanzas 2 and 3, 2 and 3 of 202.
Thank you.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.